Let us turn to Matthew chapter 24.
Vamos a abrir nuestras Biblias en San Mateo, capítulo 24.
Matthew chapter 24.
San Mateo, capítulo 24.
Verse 32. Now learn the parable from the fig tree when its branch has already become tender and put forth its leaves. You know that summer is near.
De la higuera aprended la parábola. Cuando ya su rama está tierna y brotan las hojas, sabéis que el verano está cerca.
Even so you too, when you see all these things, recognize that he is near, right at the door.
Así también vosotros, cuando veáis todas estas cosas, conoced que está cerca a las puertas.
Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place.
De cierto os digo, que no pasará esta generación hasta que todo esto acontezca.
Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words shall not pass away.
El cielo y la tierra pasarán, pero mis palabras no pasarán.
Let us pay attention to the first phrase of chapter verse 32. Let us repeat the first phrase of verse 32.
Vamos a repetir. La primera frase del verso 22.
Now learn the parables from the fig tree.
De la higuera aprended a la parábola.
Let me repeat again. Now learn the parables from the fig tree.
De la higuera aprended la parábola.
We know that this portion of the word was given by our Lord while he was on earth.
Nosotros sabemos que esta porción de la palabra nos ha sido dada por el Señor.
Now we all know that Gospel of Matthew.
Todos nosotros sabemos que el Evangelio según San Mateo
was one of the four Gospels.
Es uno de los cuatro Evangelios.
Among these four Gospels,
entre estos cuatro Evangelios,
if we want to know the teaching of our Lord,
si nosotros deseamos conocer la enseñanza de nuestro Señor,
now definitely we will go to Matthew's Gospel according to Matthew.
Sin duda alguna, vamos a leer el Evangelio acuerdo San Mateo.
Because in this Gospel, we have direct word of Christ.
Porque en este Evangelio tenemos directamente las palabras de Cristo.
If we take the direct word of Christ in reading,
si nosotros imprimiéramos las directas palabras de Cristo en tinta roja,
then you will discover 60% of Gospel of this Gospel are red.
Diríamos que sobre el 60% de este Evangelio tendría que estar rojo.
No wonder in this Gospel we were told, behold, there is someone who is greater than Solomon.
No es impresionante que en el Evangelio tenemos escrito, este aquí
alguien que es mayor que todo el mundo.
So, Gospel of Matthew actually is the word of someone who is greater than Saul.
Entonces, el Evangelio de San Mateo son las palabras de alguien que es mayor que Salomón.
Now you will encounter the word of life given by all.
En este Evangelio vamos a encontrar la palabra de la vida que ha sido dada por nuestro Señor.
For example, the Sermon on the Mount.
Por ejemplo, el Sermón del Monte.
Now, in the Sermon on the Mount, we encounter the living word of Christ.
En el Sermón del Monte nosotros tenemos las palabras vivas de Cristo.
But then when we come to chapter 24 and chapter 25.
Pero entonces cuando llegamos al capítulo 24 al capítulo 25 de San Mateo,
we encounter the prophetic word of Christ.
Nosotros encontramos las palabras proféticas de Cristo.
Now, either the living word of Christ,
sea las palabras vivas de Cristo,
or the prophetic word of Christ,
sea las palabras proféticas de Cristo,
are all important words of Christ.
Todas ellas son importantes palabras de Cristo.
Sometimes we know that we should not quench the Spirit.
Algunas veces sabemos que no debemos enfriar el Espíritu.
But we tend to despise the prophetic utterance.
Pero tenemos una tendencia a despreciar las palabras proféticas.
Now, in the Word of Christ,
o en la palabra de Cristo,
we not only have the living Word of Christ.
Nosotros tenemos no solamente la palabra viva de Cristo,
we also have the prophetic Word.
Nosotros también tenemos la palabra profética.
But these two aspects of the Word of Christ are correlated.
Estos dos aspectos de la palabra de Cristo están correlacionados.
For example,
por ejemplo,
when our Lord prophesied one day,
cuando un día nuestro Señor profetizó una profecía,
the branch of the fig tree will be tender.
Cuando la rama de la higuera está tierna,
and puts forth its leaf,
y brota las hojas.
You know that summer is near.
Sabéis que el verano está cerca.
Now we know this is one of the most wonderful prophetic words of our Lord.
Pero sabemos que esta es una de las más maravillosas palabras proféticas de nuestro Señor.
You remember a few days ago, before our Lord uttered this word.
Podemos recordar que algunos días después de nuestro Señor proferir esta palabra,
our Lord has cursed a fig tree.
Nuestro Señor proferió una maldición hacia la higuera.
Because he couldn't find any fruit in that tree.
Porque no pudo encontrar ningún fruto en la higuera.
There are but leaves without any fruit.
La higuera tenía solamente hojas, pero ningún fruto.
Now God's purpose for a fig tree is its fruit, not its leaves.
El propósito de Dios para una higuera son sus frutos y no sus hojas.
And that fig tree only has a wonderful appearance, but there is no true reality.
Y esta higuera tenía una maravillosa apariencia, pero no tenía verdadera realidad.
And our Lord does not want us to have any pretension. Now, in order to help the fig tree to become true fig tree, so our Lord cursed that fig tree. Then, from the very root, that tree of fig become withered.
Entonces la higuera se pegó desde sus raíces.
Now of course we know very well.
Ahora nosotros sabemos muy bien.
Our Lord Jesus just came from Bethany.
Y nuestro Señor Jesús tenía recién venido de Betania.
Where Martha served our Lord very well.
Donde Martha había servido nuestro Señor también.
You would never imagine Martha will let our Lord going out without having breakfast.
No podemos imaginar que Martha permitiría que el Señor dejara su casa sin ofrecerle un desayuno.
But the Bible tells us.
Pero la Biblia nos dice.
Now after our Lord Jesus came out from Bethany.
Y cuando nuestro Señor Jesús dejó Betania.
And he was hungry.
Y Ellos tenían hambre.
He became hungry.
Ellos tenían hambre.
And he looked from a distance at this tree.
Cuando miró from the lejos una higuera,
he was looking for something that would satisfy him.
Él estaba buscando algo que pudiera satisfacerle.
But he couldn't find anything.
Pero él no pudo, encontrar nada.
A leaf.
Solamente hoja.
So our Lord cursed that tree. Now, of course, when our Lord became hungry, it was not a biological one. We know that was a spiritual one. So that tree is not just a fig tree. Actually, that tree you represent the nation of Israel. God had a purpose for the nation of
Israel.
The reason God has chosen Israel is one for one purpose. One day our God is able to find satisfaction from that tree. But what a disappointment to our Lord. At that time, Israel already had a wonderful history. Look at the temple. And no wonder disciples said, what a temple and what a stone. However, our Lord said, I will tell you one day, there will be no stone upon another stone. I will leave your house as desolation. In chapter 2 of John, our Lord still described the temple of God as Father's house. But what a disappointment. Finally, our Lord had to say, I will leave your house as desolation. People of Israel, they were mistaken. They thought once they had the presence of God, they will forever have the presence of God. Once Jerusalem became the city of great kings, then forever the eternal city. And they forgot. One day, there will be no stone upon another stone. When the temple of God has lost its reality, when it became an empty shell, then God will allow it to be no stone upon another stone. So let us remember, that's why our Lord cursed that tree. Because our Lord never gives up hope with his chosen ones. If the Lord really loved the children, his chosen ones, then he wants to help the people of Israel. Then his outward appearance ought to match its inner reality. Now this is a very serious matter. So you remember how our Lord cursed that. Now in Gospel of Matthew,
Ahora el Evangelio según San Mateo.
Our Lord has uttered his prophetic utterances.
Nuestro Señor ha pedido pronunciamientos proféticos
through two different ways.
A todos diferentes maneras.
One is by action.
Una acción.
Another way is by words.
Otra manera es a través de las palabras.
So our Lord took the action and cleared the sea.
Entonces nuestro Señor actió y manifestó el amor.
Now in that action,
en esa acción,
our Lord already predicted the future of the temple of God.
Nuestro Señor estaba prediciendo el futuro del templo de Dios.
And also the nation of Israel.
Y también el futuro de Israel.
And then 70 AD. Now, when Roman soldiers took over the city of Jerusalem, then the nation of Israel disappeared from this land. But then let us remember, there's another prophecy by our Lord. So our Lord said, learn the parable from the fig tree.
Nuestro Señor dijo, aprende la parábola de la higuera.
When its branch has already become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near.
Cuando ya su rama está tierra y rota la hoja, sabéis que el verano está cerca.
Even so you too, when you see all these things, recognize that he is near, right at the door.
Aquí también vosotros, cuando veáis todas estas cosas, conocéis que está cerca, a la puerta.
And in Greek here,
en el griego,
in original, is at the door. Door is in plural.
La palabra puerta es plural, la puerta.
Now that refers to the oriental house. There are several doors before you enter into the living room. So if the Son of Man already at the doors,
si el Hijo del Hombre está a la puerta,
at least he's already at the entrance.
Por lo menos está cerca de la entrada.
Or even the second door, or even the third door.
Puede ser la primera puerta, puede ser la tercera puerta.
So that means our Lord will return very, very soon.
Eso significa que nuestro Señor va a regresar muy pronto. Muy
now,
pronto.
We know this is a wonderful prophecy. And this prophecy actually had been fulfilled.
In 1948,
May 14th,
in Mayo 1948,
the whole world witnessed one thing, that is, the nation of Israel was born again.
Todo el mundo testimonió el nacimiento, el renacimiento de la nación de Israel.
So the rebirth of the nation of Israel is a fulfillment of the prophecy given by our Lord.
Entonces el renacimiento de la nación de Israel es el cumplimiento de la profecía que se cumplió.
So we know that our Lord definitely will come back very, very soon. So since 1948, May 14th, and then we discover actually many prophecies have been fulfilled. So when we survey the prophetic word of Christ, now we are pretty sure our Lord's coming is very soon. Now especially since September
11, 2001.
Not only New York is no longer the same. United States is no longer the same. And the whole world is no longer the same. Now, September 11 actually is a wake-up call for many Christians.
Ahora, el 11 de septiembre es una llamada de pensamiento para muchos cristianos.
It reminds us again the prophetic word of Christ. So the sixth year refers to the nation of Israel. That's why our Lord said, learn the parable from the sixth tree. And then you will know that the prophecy about nation of Israel already is fulfilled before our eyes. And we know that the world is approaching the end. And we know that we are not just waiting for death, we are waiting for his return. Actually, we are in the last phase of the history of mankind. God is about to finish his work. Now we know that in the eternal past. Now God has a purpose. God has an eternal plan. Then, according to that plan, he makes a determination. He wants to carry out his eternal purpose. Then he began to work. When he began to work, then the universe began to move. Now any physicist will tell you. Now what is time? Now the reason we have time is all because of the motion of this universe. And the motion of this universe is due to the work of God. So when God began to work, time began. So today we have our time. So now we understand. Now today our time just like something between the two kind of papers. Now we have an eternal past. We also have eternal future. Between these two eternities, we have our time. So when we have time, it means that God is busy in his working. Thank God. You remember, 2,000 years ago, He has given us His only begotten Son, who died for us on the cross. Now, our Lord has accomplished wonderful work of redemption. This all part of God's working. This is all part of God's eternal purpose. Now, we know that's the meaning of time. Now we have a question. Now, how many percent of God's working has accomplished? Now, if 98% of God's work has accomplished, so that means we will reach the very end of human history. Now, if you go back to the Bible, now God put his timetable in the Word of God.
Tablo de tiempo en la Biblia.
And God put his plan in the Word of God. He tells us he is going to do this, he is going to do that. Now that's why we have about 1800 prophecies in the Bible. And this is indeed the eternal, this is indeed the will of God. It pleased our Father who revealed his wonderful plan through the Word of God. And for that reason,
por esta razón,
just by studying the prophecy in the Bible,
estudiando las profecías en la Biblia,
and then we will learn something.
Vamos a aprender algo.
According to his timetable, now how much of God's work has accomplished? I still remember when my daughter was getting married. She spent 4 years to prepare her wedding.
Ella usó todo un año para preparar su matrimonio.
So I gave her a gift.
Entonces yo quería darle un regalo.
So I gave her a software.
Yo le compré un software.
To plan the wedding.
Para que pudiera planear su matrimonio.
So software very interesting.
Y aquel software es muy interesante.
Because that sort of software is able to help my daughter to carry out all her plans.
Porque aquel software podría ayudar a mi hija a realizar todos sus planes.
Every time when she turns on the computer,
cada vez cuando ella encendía la computadora,
now that computer will tell her,
la computadora iba a decir,
now there are only 270 days to go.
70 days
ago. So by this way, she was able to plan her wedding. And because she has many things to work out. So that software will list all those things she has to work. At a certain day, she should get a photographer. At a certain day, she should go to flower shop. Now, at a certain day, now she should take pictures. At a certain day, she should mail out all her invitations. So when she lists those things one by one, actually, she was predicting something. You see, that prophecy actually really tells us she's working toward her wedding. So after a while, we will check how much she has accomplished. Now suppose only half of the work has been done. Still half of them yet to be fulfilled. Now you can be sure the wedding is still far, still quite far. But suppose 95% of work has been done. Then you are pretty sure her wedding is very, very soon. Now, that's why we study prophecy. Not to satisfy our curiosity. Christ's prophetic word,
las palabras de Cristo,
mainly is not to satisfy our curiosity.
no tiene el objetivo principal de satisfacer nuestra curiosidad,
his prophetic words,
sus palabras proféticas,
is for us to know his work.
Son para que podamos saber su obra,
is to give us the answer,
para que podamos tener la respuesta,
how much God has accomplished his work.
¿Cuánto Dios ya ha realizado de su obra?
Now listen carefully.
Ahora, oiga cuidadosamente.
If you go back to your Bible, you will find more than 1,800 prophecies. It's almost 20%, 27% of your Bible. Now you understand. The prophecies of the Bible will stand or fall with the Bible. Then out of these 1,800 prophecies, then you discover actually there are 737 independent events. Now among these 737 events, you will find 590 major events. Now we'll ask one question. Now if the Bible is full of prophecy, then what is the rate of fulfillment of the prophecy? Now listen carefully. According to Bible scholars, out of 590 major events, 570 of them have been fulfilled. In the whole Bible,
in toda la Biblia,
there are only 20 events left yet to be fulfilled. Now, what is the rate of fulfillment? More than 97%. So this proves that Bible is indeed the Word of God. More than that, if God gave us His timetable, He told us He is going to accomplish many works. So this becomes the prophecy in the Bible. So now we are told 90%, 95%, 97% already being accomplished. So only 3% left. What does that mean? Our God actually is almost reached the end of His work. When God finishes His work, then the kind ends. Do you see that? Then that last page of human history. So brothers, now this statistic will tell you two things. First, Bible is indeed the Word of God. Second, God is almost finished His work. Now our question is, what is the last phase of God's work? Now before Lord return, we cannot afford to waste our time. We have to be one with God's work. Let me ask you one question. Are you doing the work of our God? Or are you doing your work for God? That's a great difference. You see? Today we are very, very busy. Yes. One day a father came back from abroad.
vino redención de nuestras lenguas.
Now the first thing he wants, he has a wonderful fellowship with his boy. But his boy disappeared. And then next day, now he told his father, he has done wonderful things for his father. He was very busy. There is another true story. There is an old man who has just lost his companion. But his daughter really knows father's heart. So no matter how busy she is, every evening she always there to eat with her father. Then 10 days before Christmas, now she just disappeared. Right after she finished her eating, she just went upstairs. And her father was very lonely. For 10 days, she really missed the presence of her daughter, of his daughter. Then, before Christmas, in Christmas Eve, and then she appeared again. Then she gave a wonderful present to her father. She spent 10 nights just trying to make a sweater for her father. And then her father wept. Her father said to her daughter, "Now I'm very thankful for what you have done for me. But how much I wish you will be with me every
day.
Today we are very busy. According to our Lord, there is a father who has a prodigal son who went away. One day he came back. But don't forget, that father has two sons. Not only the prodigal son is a prodigal son, even the elder son, also prodigal son. One prodigal son from afar. One prodigal son is at home. He was busy in the field. He never sympathized with the heart of his father. Why his father was so happy that youngest son finally comes home. But then let's remember, and his son, eldest son, very busy yet, but never entering into the joy of his son. So, brother, now, if God is going to finish his
work,
if we are not mistaken, we believe that today, we have to find out what is the last phase of God's work. So, when you survey the prophecy, actually, it shows us something about God's eternal will. It's a tragedy for the workers of God. They are so busy with the word of God. Yes, they don't know the time of God, timing of God. And they miss the final phase of God's work. So, brothers, what is the final phase of God's work? Why our Lord utters some prophecy about Israel? Now, the prophecy about Israel is very important. Thank the Lord. Now, 1948, May 14th, we all witnessed the rebirth of the nation of Israel. So, then, after that time, it's almost half a century has passed. Now the situation in Middle East is still very tense. Now the conflict between Palestinians and the Israelites is getting worse and worse. So sometimes you just wonder what should be the future of Israel. As if the God's will is something to do with Israel. Yes, no doubt. Because Israel has been chosen people of God. But God never played the partial. God never be partial. So don't misunderstand our God. Now, why our Lord talk about Israel? So, my brothers and sisters, when we study prophecy, we will ask one question. According to the Bible, is it possible one day Palestinian will build his own nation? Is it possible one day they will make his nation capital in Jerusalem? Now, is it possible one day they will gain back the Temple Mount? Now, is it possible before the Lord returns? The third temple will be built. Because according to the Bible, the Messiah all of a sudden will enter into the temple. So before our Lord returns, now on the Temple Mount, or Mount Moriah, now at that time, you won't see two mosques. And all you will see is the temple of God. That's why Antichrist enter into the temple of God and he exalts himself as God. So if you study your Bible, you have many questions about Israel. Now, is that the will of God? Is that the last phase of God's work? Then why Israel? So, when we come back to the prophetic word of Christ, and there is a phrase, very important phrase. Now learn the parable from the fig tree. Now remember, anything relates to Israel is nothing but a parable. Now what is teaching here? What is the lesson behind that parable? Now, if you know how to answer that question, then you are about to understand the last phase of our prayer. Then we'll answer his call. Let us be one with his work.
obra.
Especially when time is very, very short.
Realmente cuando el tiempo es muy, muy corto.
So, brothers,
entonces, hermanos,
why the Lord said learn the parable from the
¿por qué nuestro Señor dijo aprender la parábola de la higuera?
Yes, there will be prophecies about the future of Israel.
Sí, habrá profecía acerca del futuro de Israel.
But behind that,
por detrás de eso,
God wants to teach you something much, much deeper.
Dios quiere enseñarnos algo muy, muy más profundo.
Something really will touch his heart.
Algo que va a en verdad tocar su corazón.
So what is that?
Entonces, ¿por qué es eso?
Now, if you know Bible very well,
si uno conoce la Biblia muy bien,
Abraham has two classes of descendants.
Abraham tenía dos clases de descendientes.
One will be like the sand on the seashore.
Uno sería como las paredes de las orillas del mar.
The other class will be like the stars in heaven.
Otra clase sería como las estrellas de los cielos.
So that represents the earthly people of God and the heavenly people of God. Now, the way God deals with earthly, his earthly people. The same way he deals with heavenly people. So when all saints are being called by God himself into his family, then what you see?
Entonces,
you see the heaven, you see the stars in the heaven. So let us remember, God has earthly people like Israel, but God has heavenly people as his church. Christ loves his church.
Cristo ama su iglesia.
And gave himself for her. Christ not only loved you and not only loved me.
Cristo solamente ha amado a usted, no solamente ha amado a mí.
Church is the body of Christ.
La iglesia es el cuerpo de Cristo.
Something always in the dear heart of our Lord Jesus.
Algo está siempre en el profundo del corazón de nuestro Señor Jesucristo.
Now that is one question.
Tenemos una pregunta.
What is the future of Israel?
¿Cuál es el futuro de Israel?
Now that's our concern.
But
if you really know the eternal will of God, you will ask another question. What is the future of the church?
Do
you think the church will have tomorrow? Look around today. Let us be honest. What is the true condition of the church today? According to the Bible, Christ loves his church. He will wash her, his body, with his word. And one day, he will present himself a church glorious. Now isn't this prophecy? Isn't this prophetic word of Christ? But look around today. Read your church history. And remember, what is our record today? Do we dare to say church will have tomorrow? When you see that our flesh, while our flesh is on the throne, now the division is unavoidable. Now, isn't that true? Before the Lord returns, he will present himself the church glory. Are we working for that direction? You see that? A church will satisfy God's heart. Not just satisfy our heart. That's why the Bible says he will present himself a church glorious, holy without blemish. Now let us add one question. Does church have tomorrow?
Viene a la iglesia una mañana.
So you see, brothers, our time is running out. The Lord is coming back soon. Now, what should be the final phase of God's work? Now the answer is this. Let's learn the parable from the
scripture.
The principle is very simple. If you go back to Old Testament and you in Old Testament, then we will learn how God dealt with the earthly, his earthly people. If you come to the New Testament, we learn how God deals with his heavenly people. And then you become a spiritual man. The way he dealt with his earthly people, the same way he dealt with his heavenly people. When you look at the history of his earthly people, and compare with the history of his heavenly people, you will find these two histories actually parallel to each other. So the prophecies about his earthly people is the same prophecy of his heavenly people. Now, if you study prophecy, you will find the law of interpretation. Now, all the Bible students know the biblical prophecy has so-called dual fulfillment. Now, in many prophecies, you will find immediate fulfillment. You will find remote fulfillment. This is called dual fulfillment. However, more than the dual fulfillment, it means this. When it applies to the earthly people, then the same rule should be applied to the heavenly people. When you look at the history of two peoples, they are parallel. When you look at their futures, again, they are parallel. Let me illustrate. For example, if you go back to the history of Israel, how many times people of Israel have been captured? Two times. Why? 500 years before Christ. They had been captured in Babylon. Then after 70 years, they came back to their own land. Now you know the story. Then 70 AD. Once again, and people of Israel have been captured. Now this time was not being captured to Babylon. Was captured to the whole earth. And then people of Israel being scattered. After 1800 years. On 1948, May 14th, they began to come back from all over every corner of the world. Now, 500 before Christ, they were captured to Babylon and they come back from Babylon. 1948, because they were used to be captured to the whole world. So now they came back from 104 nations of the whole world. And finally, now we discover they came back to their homeland. So two captivity and two return to our land. Now, brother, it's very clear. The first captivity is to Babylon, the land of idol worshiping. Now, second time, again to the land of idols. But this time, not just living to Babylon. And people of Israel have been scattered all over the world. So, brothers, this is the history of people of Israel. How about heavenly people? If you study the church history, you know that when the church was in darkness, the church has been captured into Babylon. You know the story. Okay, when Martin Luther and John Calvin have been raised by the Lord. So then they brought people out of Babylon. So you can see that. Now how church being captured to Babylon? And finally come back from Babylon. Especially since 16th century. Through the work of Martin Luther and through the work of John Calvin, we now have a public Bible, open Bible. Now we also have the truth of justification by faith. Now you see that? How people of God have been come back from Babylon. But then, if you study the church history again, when we come to 19th century and the 20th century, and then you discover the church has been captured into the whole world. Now it's not just to a system. And then you discover that people of God are divided, are separated. So now God has called them back from the four corners of the earth. And they will come back to the will of God. So if we study history of heavenly people, then you find that the story is exactly the same. So if we study church history carefully, now remember, now when church was being captured into Babylon, now the people of God even did not know anything about salvation. Now since 16th century, now they have come back from Babylon. So they know their Bible. They know justification by faith. They know sanctification by faith. It's wonderful. But then something happened. We study church history. And then you discover. Now, when church was captured into Babylon, there was only one system. It was a false system. It was a fallen system. But now, the church has been separated from Babylon. Everything is according to the Bible. However,
we were divided.
However, the body of Christ has been divided. So if we are honest, where are the people of God today? We have been scattered. We are like those dry bones. Dry bones. Being scattered in the whole world. No more life.
No one has seen that.
Now the church supposes the body is supposed to be the body of Christ. Now because of death, penetrate into the body. Because our flesh is on the throne. Then one division after another division. Then we ask one question. Does church have tomorrow? Do we really believe that one day Christ will present His church as a glorious
church?
Now, your only encouragement, your only comfort is from the prophetic word of God. So, brothers and sisters, for that reason, when we study the prophecy of the
Israel,
at the same time, actually we study the prophecy of the
church.
Everything happened to the earthly people, it will happen to the heavenly people. I have no time to go through that one by one. But let me try to summarize in a very quick fashion. Then we will conclude tonight's meeting. I must confess, I'm not used to preach in this late hour. I'm always afraid that you will fall asleep. But anyway, by the grace of the Lord, let me just try to use another 20 minutes. Now let us try to see what happens with the future of Israel and the future of the church. Now, when we talk about the when we talk about the rebirth of nation Israel, and Bible compares Israel with the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. Now, if you go back to Old Testament, then you make a thorough study about fig tree. Now, fig tree, yes, represents the nation of Israel. But more than that, I only give you the conclusion. We have no time to prove it. So, what other aspects about the fig tree? So fig tree is not only represents the nation of Israel. Now, fig tree also represents the land of Israel. And also represents the city of Israel. There is only one city. And this holy city is Jerusalem. And more than that, this fig tree also represents the temple of Israel. It is the temple of God. Do you see that? Sometimes we oversimplify the fig tree. So we miss the lesson here. Now learn the parable from the fig tree. Since we used to limit the fig tree to only the nation of Israel. And so the fulfillment of this prophecy is only limited to 1948 May 14. But actually, the fig tree also refers to the land of Israel. If the branch has already become tender and putting forth its leaves, if this signifies the rebirth of the nation of Israel, then if the fig tree represents the land of Israel, then it means this. Not only the nation of Israel will be reborn, also the people of Israel will come back to their own land. Now that's very important. Do you see that? When God dealt with Israel, they have lost their nation. Their nation disappeared. They have lost their land. And that land has been taken over by Palestinians. They said, this is our land. Why? Because they have lost their land. They have been captured into the whole world. So on one day, the fig tree, the branches of fig tree become tender. When the fig tree put forth its leaves. So now at least there are two meanings now. One, the rebirth of the nation. Then the second one, the coming back of the people of Israel to their homeland. Now in the beginning, the fathers of Zionists, Zion movement, you know, their dream was this. They want to create their nation in South America. Just your neighbor. Argentina. That's their world dream. They want to have their own nation. They know it's impossible to go back. So the best way is they try to create a nation within territory of Argentina. But that never happened. According to law. Yes. Not only the nation of Israel should be reborn, they ought to come back to their homeland. The British government used to suggest that. Now don't go back to the Middle East. We will give you a huge piece of land in Uganda. You can build your nation there. But that never happened. Now you all know very well. And people of God. Now they really come back from more than 100 nations. Some of them came back from Chile. Some of them even came back from China. And the prophecy has been wonderfully fulfilled. But more than that, the fig tree also represents the city of Israel. So what does that mean? Jerusalem ought to come back to the bosom of Israel. Do you see the point? For almost 2,000 years, during every Passover, they give a wish to each other. They say, next year, Jerusalem. This was a dream for more than 1900 years. To their surprise, during 1967, in the war of 6 days, and to the surprise of the whole world,
para la sorpresa de todo el mundo,
city of Jerusalem came back to its own, to the bosom, to the, came back to the bosom of Israel. So do you see that? So when we talk about victory, not only rebirth of nations, not only coming back to their hometown, but also the return of Jerusalem to their bosom. The temple of God has been destroyed. Now you don't find any temple on the Mount of Mount Moriah. But remember, as a part of God's recovery, and they recover finally before Lord returns, the temple ought to be rebuilt. So, brothers and sisters, this victory in the year actually involved with four aspects. Then today you will ask one question. Is it possible? Now one day, on the Mount Moriah, you don't find two mosques, yet you will find a built temple will be rebuilt. And you know very well, if anything like that happens, it always is jihad for the whole world. Now, one-fifth of the human population will never allow that thing to happen. During the Gulf War, some people were praying. Saddam Hussein used missiles to attack Israel. Because that missile is not very accurate. So some people pray that hopefully that missile will fall on the Mount of Olives. Then the problem will be solved. No, not that simple. This is the issue no one can solve today. Think about it. Mount Moriah is one mountain in Jerusalem. Now, the world is so big. Now, why the descendants of Ishmael and the descendants of Isaac, they just fight for this one mountain? But more than that, according to archaeological discovery, and they have found, actually inside the mosque, you find a huge rock, and they imagine that must be the place where Abraham offered his son Isaac. But most surprising discovery is this. Archaeologists, they discover on that rock, there is a rectangular depression. So if you measure the size of that rectangular, it is the same size and the dimension of arc. What does that mean? That means that piece of rock actually is a foundation stone of holy of holy. So if one day the temple of God ought to reveal, now the Holy of Holies must be upon that rock. So either you have mosque or you have a temple. Either you die or I die. Now things become more complicated. They not only fight for the whole mountain head, now they are fighting over a stone. So my brother and sister, for that reason, even 2 years ago, with the help of the United States, they tried to find a solution. Israel was even willing to give up 92% of territory. But the peace talk was still a failure. There are only two issues involved. That's all something to do with the sixth tree. Now, then what are the two issues? First, now Arafat wants to make Jerusalem as his capital. Second, and he wants to represent the Muslim world. To take back the sovereignty of the temple mount. So now you can see, this becomes a very difficult issue. That's why today there is such a serious conflict. Now if you know the secret of victory, if you know what God is wanting, try to work out something. Now brothers, do you see that? There are four movements of God's recovery with Israel. First, the nation. Second, the land. Third, the city. Fourth, the temple. Do you see that? Now, when the nation of Israel was reborn, and that means what? They ought to come back to their land. And Jerusalem ought to come back to their own country. And finally, the temple of God will be rebuilt. These are the four movements of God's recovery of Israel. Now, we will ask, is it possible that the third temple will be rebuilt? The answer is very simple. If you ask me, is it possible for them to become an independent nation on 1948 May 14th? It's almost impossible. It was a miracle. You remember according to the Bible, according to God's prophecy. Now, somehow a British Empire has been raised by God. That's according to Isaiah. So now, because of the power of British Empire, now God used British Empire as an instrument. It was a miracle. One day, nation of Israel were born. The same thing applied to their coming back to their land. Now tomorrow evening I will try to explain a little bit more. But how about 1967? Jerusalem came back to the bosom of Israel. unless God kills his leader. Nothing will happen. So, brothers and sisters, and God tried to teach people of Israel. Everything is by grace. Everything is by the miracle work of God. So how, when happen one day, the third temple will be rebuilt? According to the human point of view, it's almost impossible. But brothers and sisters, now if you understand fig tree, our Lord said, learn the parable from fig tree. Learn the lesson before our Lord returns. Now even we have been captured to this world, even we are divided, but before the Lord returns, he will present himself, the church, glorious. Now the temple of God always typify the church. Now if one day the temple of God can be rebuilt, it means it has been ruined, it has been destroyed. But one day, now remember, if that was true with the temple of God, earthly temple of God, it must be true with heavenly temple of God. So God used Israel as illustration to tell us we should cheer up. God will never fail. Now Jerusalem represents testimony of God. Now the land represents the unsearchable riches of Christ. And the nation of Israel represents the eventual kingdom of Christ on earth. So brothers, with us today, again, four movements of God's recovery. That will cover the last phase of God's work. Brothers and sisters, the church, it means the temple. The city means the testimony of God. So, brothers and sisters, today, when Christ presents his church as a glory church, then we have testimony to this world. That was what Jerusalem represents. But more than that, why they came back to the land of Canaan? Now in the letters of Apostle Paul. Now the land really represents unsearchable riches of Christ. Now if we are really believe what the Lord is doing today, the church can never be in poverty. When we come together, you will discover the unsearchable riches of Christ. And more than that, one day we will all witness when church is in its glorious state. Then you discover only Christ, and Christ alone, who is sitting upon the throne. When Christ is the head of the church, when Christ is the king on the throne, this is heaven on earth. This is the kingdom of heaven on earth. So, brothers and sisters, do you see that? Everything connects with Israel. One day, it will be fulfilled in the church. So, So because of that,
Entonces,
if we go back to the Bible, that's what we are going to do tomorrow evening. We will go back to the Bible, and you find some prophecy will be fulfilled with Israel. But at the same time, it will be fulfilled in the church. If this is what God is going to do, this must tell us the last phase of God's work. Then, brothers and sisters, our times are numbered. Either we are going to meet our Lord, or our Lord will come back and receive us. No matter what, our days are numbered. We have to ask ourselves, are we one with God's work? Or we are involved with our work. We are working for God. Or we are working the work of God. If we are working the work of God, we ought to know what is the last phase of God's work. Yes, all the flesh around us will disappoint us. All the spiritual condition of the church will really discourage us. Are we going to give up? Thank God. Only God can work out the work of God. So if we try to work out, we are bound to fail. We may fail. God will never fail. We are not indispensable. Only Christ is indispensable. So, brothers and sisters, if we really see that, then because of the God's prophecy, we will be encouraged. We know finally, God will Christ will present Himself the church glory. So may the Lord really speak to our hearts. I know this message is very tough to many one of us. But brothers and sisters, I have to be honest with you. I don't know why I'm here today. When I look to the Lord, I ask the Lord, you must have some word for today. So this is what I receive from the Lord. And I myself am very encouraged. Even today, you see that we are all divided. But from the word of God, now we know that. One day He will present Himself a living, a church glory. And tomorrow evening, from the word of God, we will even something even more glorious. Now with this message, we will be encouraged. With this message, we will go on with the Lord. With this message, we try, by the grace of God, to be faithful unto death. So may the Lord speak to every one of us. May this word for His testimony, may this word for the recovery of His church. May the Lord really speak to us. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we commit this word into Your hand. We thank You for Your speaking. We pray that You will translate this word into the level every one of us can understand. Encourage us to go on with You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. You are the Lord always working.
Tú eres el Señor que sacrifica el trabajador.
You are the master.
Tú eres el maestro.
You are the master. So you are the Lord of harvest.
You are, tú eres el Señor de la cosecha.
We worship you.
Y nosotros te adoramos.
In the name of our Lord Jesus we pray.
En el nombre de Jesucristo nosotros adoramos.
Amén.
Amén.